You're listening to LawPod UK from the creators of the UK Human Rights Blog. It's a podcast that discusses developments across all aspects of civil and public law in the United Kingdom. All the comments are current at the time of podcast publication. LawPod UK is produced by the barristers at 1 Crown Office Row and is presented by Rosalind English.
But now, at the dawn of a new year, we have something different for you. In the spirit of cooperation which governs the making of podcasts, we at 1 Crown Office Row are delighted to present Catherine Barnard of Trinity College, Cambridge. Catherine is Professor of European Union Law and has just started a series of podcasts on the legal milestones to be covered as Brexit gets underway. She's agreed to let us republish her first episode, where she talks to journalist Bonnie Soanes, starting with the series title 2903 CB.
What does 2903 CB stand for, Catherine?
Well, it's that magic date, 29th of March 2017, when Article 50 was triggered, 29th of March 2019, when we are due to be leaving the European Union, and CB, that's me.
Let's have the first event of 2018. Is January going to be significant for the Brexiteers or the Remain lobby? And if so, why?
Well, we've already seen that at the very end of 2017, you had the agreement of a deal on the divorce. That's at EU level, but at domestic level, the EU withdrawal bill was going through Parliament and Theresa May suffered her first defeat on an amendment to the withdrawal bill. Now, she'd already struggled with dealing with the European Union and trying to get an agreement, at least agreed in outline as to what the divorce might look like. If you remember, there was that manic Monday when she'd gone to Brussels and it looked like a deal was done and dusted, and then the DUP said, no, it isn't. And so there was a frantic week of trying to get things sorted. She went back to Brussels on the Friday and up popped a joint report. In the early hours of Friday morning, she managed to pull off at least a deal of some sort. Now, we've got to be a bit careful when we talk about a deal here, because it was only a joint report, which was a sort of health check on steroids. It's not actually a formal agreement.
A gentleman's agreement?
Well, a gentleman's and ladies agreement, I might say. In and of itself, not legally binding. And so from that point of view, David Davis was right to say it wasn't legally binding, but it was of high political significance, because one, it showed that a deal could be done, and two, if there's any chance that either the UK or the EU backtracks on that deal, there will be trouble, particularly for the UK, because it means their chances of getting a future deal come post-Brexit will be significantly reduced. So now the European Council meeting on the sort of 15th, 16th of December are going to say, yes, this is going to go ahead. These are the guidelines for the next rounds. Now, what are the next rounds? Next rounds are going to be primarily about transition. Now, I call it transition. Theresa May calls it implementation. Why the difference? Well, for her, implementation means implementing a future trade deal. Problem is, nobody knows what's going to go into that future trade deal. And the EU has said very clearly, no future trade deal will be completed until at least after the 29th of March 2019. So, in fact, what we're going to get is transition, and transition is basically going to be the status quo stripped of UK membership of the EU institutions. So what we're going to see in early January 2018 is that there'll be plans afoot as to what that transition might look like. And transition is actually going to be really complicated. There are lots of legal issues around transition, in particular about whether the UK will be able to continue to participate in all of those free trade agreements that the EU has got with countries like Singapore or Korea, or the one that's being negotiated and discussed at the moment, one with Canada or Japan. Will the UK be able to participate? Good news if we can, but bad news if you're Liam Fox, because Liam Fox has got an entire department set up to negotiate our own trade deals. He won't be able to do that so long as we are bound into the EU Customs Union, which means we've got to respect the free trade deals. So early January, you're talking about transition. The UK wants a deal on transition done very quickly indeed, because there is a magic window which sort of closes about March, April time 2018, when businesses who are planning a year ahead say, if there's no transition and there's no certainty over transition, we're off.
But the words very quickly, they don't seem to go hand in hand with either how Europe is negotiating or with unity within the Conservative government in the UK. So quickly isn't likely to happen.
No, but on the other hand, the EU also wants some degree of certainty, because it's all very well saying it's entirely the UK's problem. But if there is no transition and we're heading towards a really hard Brexit on the 29th of March 2019, yes, the UK will be affected, but so will the ports of Calais and Rotterdam, who will have to deal with suddenly imposing import duties on British goods. They also haven't got enough customs officers in Calais either. They need to train them. It takes 3 years to train a French customs officer. And they should have been starting that months ago. No sign of that. So both sides actually need a transition period to try and sort things out. So transition is first, and it will be the thing that's going to be discussed January, February time.
And we have to agree that by the end of March.
In practical terms, in reality, and legally, it may not be finally concluded until the autumn of 2018, because it will be tied up with the withdrawal agreement. That's a divorce agreement. So there is some uncertainty. And if transition is kicked into the long grass, like it's kicked till autumn 2018, the value of the transition deal quickly gets tarnished, because business will say, well, if we don't know for sure that there's going to be transition in March 2018, we're off. So to be told, yes, there is a transition arrangement in September 2018, not much good. Then the next magic moment will be the European Council in March 2018, 23rd of March 2018. And it's at that moment that the EU has agreed that they will start to think about what a future trade deal might look like. Now, some people say that the EU might have been prepared to even start discussing the shape of a future trading relationship earlier than that. But one of the ways of punishing David Davis for his incautious remarks on the Andrew Marr programme, when he suggested that nothing which should have been agreed over this joint report on the divorce was legally binding.
That was in December 2017.
Then that really frightened the horses in Europe, because they're thinking, well, we thought we had, if not a legally binding deal, as I said, but a very strong political commitment. And then David Davis appears to say, actually, it can be changed at any stage. So one of the punishments, as it's been presented, is that we don't even get to start talking about the future trading relationship until March. But punishment's a bit strong, really, because in fact the EU is not entirely clear about what it wants out of the future trading relationship. And while the EU has shown remarkable degree of unity over the divorce, actually the EU27 aren't necessarily consistent in what they want about the future trading relationship. In terms of timeline and what's going to happen at EU level, we've got probably talks about transition starting in January, plus perhaps a first draft of what the divorce agreement looks like, which is based on the joint report of the 8th of December. And then perhaps some talks about the future deal starting in March. April, May, June. In reality, there will be no final deal on the future trading relationship until at the earliest April 2019. And that's because the EU takes a legal point, and the legal point is no trade deal with the UK until you're a third country. Now, David Davis has said, well, of course, we can do the negotiations about a trade deal and then sign it at a minute past midnight. In theory, yes, sure. In practice, absolutely not, because the future trading relationship is, one, complex. Two, it will take a lot of negotiation. Look at the Canada free trade agreement with the EU. It took about 7 years to negotiate. Three, it needs to be approved by the Council of Ministers unanimously, by the European Parliament, and crucially by the national parliaments and the regional parliaments in countries like Belgium. So you're talking well over 30 national parliaments needing to have a say. All of this could take a long time. And then any one of them can raise an issue with the Court of Justice to say that this future trade agreement that's going to be struck is contrary to EU law. That's what's happening at the moment with the Canadian Free Trade Agreement. The Walloons don't like it and they're challenging it before the Court of Justice. All of this means the future trade agreement in a concrete form will take years, probably 5 years, to conclude. So all we can expect to get, hopefully around autumn 2018, is a political declaration as to the potential shape of what the future trading relationship might look like. So, to sum up, because it's all really complicated, but what it looks like is we're looking at transition, early talks on that in January 2018, first draft of what the withdrawal agreement, the divorce agreement, will look like, January, February 2018. All of those will be negotiated. Lots of technical working groups. March, you start talking perhaps about what the future trading relationship looks like. Ideally, the divorce agreement and transition are concluded in at the latest September 2018 so that there is time for a meaningful vote. Remember that vote that Theresa May lost in Parliament in December, which said there's got to be a meaningful vote on what the withdrawal agreement looks like. July, August, September. There's got to be time for Parliament to have a meaningful vote on what the Article 50 with the withdrawal agreement looks like. And there's got to be time for Parliament to say, actually, we don't like what's been negotiated. Go back and negotiate some more. So all of it's got to be done by the autumn. And
then, by the autumn, so autumn, end of September?
End of September, early October 2018. So the UK Parliament can have its say, the EU Parliament can have its say. So at least the withdrawal agreement and the transition are done and dusted and we're ready to leave on the 29th of March 2019.
So when do the signatures go on the document? And that timescale doesn't completely align with Westminster sitting, because we all know it comes back for the first 2 weeks of September and then it's away again for 3 weeks because of the party conferences. They might have to change the parliamentary calendar because of the defeat and the ability of Parliament to say no or yes to the deal. But when do any signatures go on any document?
Well, that's a good question, and that really does raise some very practical problems. And that's why the loss of the vote for Theresa May in December was serious, because it has thrown the parliamentary timetable out. But the fact is, people voted to take back control to the British Parliament, and Parliament asserted its control, its desire to see what goes in this withdrawal agreement.
Now, Parliament breaks up at the end of December for Christmas and the New Year. It doesn't come back until late January. It seems that we're going to have a lot of hot air about Brexit early in the new year, whether or not Parliament is sitting. Is that right?
Possibly, because, of course, there is an insatiable demand for information about Brexit. But in reality, a lot of work is being done to try and turn Brexit into a legal reality for the UK. The civil servants are working immensely hard because they've got to. Because while we've been talking primarily about what's going on at EU level, of course, the whole purpose of the withdrawal bill, that's the bill that's going to take us out of the EU, is to convert whole swathes of EU law into UK law. And that means an awful lot of technical amendments, thinking about how the law might be, and in some areas, developing entirely new policies. What's immigration going to look like going forward? It won't be free movement as we know it now, but there are some fundamental decisions that need to be taken. Is the UK going to still give preferential access to its labour market to EU nationals? Or are EU nationals going to be treated just like third country nationals, third country nationals being the jargon for Pakistani, Indian, US citizens? And will they, EU nationals, be subject to the same visa regime that is applied to those nationals if they want to work in the UK?
Now, some critics, staunch Brexiteers, have blamed the lawyers, of which you're one, of having a field day, of making it too complex. You can just walk away and sail out and do trade with anyone and have World Trade Organization rules. Do you think that's a legitimate criticism of the lawyers, that they're making a field day of it, making it too complex?
No, I don't actually. Now, you might say that. You would say that, wouldn't you? You're a lawyer. The answer is that the EU is a system based on the rule of law. And it's something that the UK has always fought for when it was a member, because to start with, Michel Barnier, who's the principal negotiator for the Commission, can only do what he's been empowered to do by the Council of Ministers. That sounds complicated, but it means that at the moment, Michel Barnier has only been given the powers to talk about the divorce. He hasn't been given the powers to talk about transition. He won't be given the powers to talk about transition until the European Council in December, or perhaps the detail fleshed out in early January. And he won't be given the powers to negotiate what the future trade deal might look like until at the earliest March 2018. And this is basically a way of the member states keeping control of the Commission to check that they don't go off on a frolic of their own. But the EU system is regulated by rules. These are the rules of the game. And it's something that the Brexiteers haven't always got their heads around, that it is a system of law. And because it's a system of law, the rules have got to be complied with. And if they're not, anyone can go to the Court of Justice and complain about it. October, November, December.
In terms of the negotiations, we've heard of the 40, 50 billion divorce bill, there not being an extra 350 million a week for the NHS, although that's still contentious. Brexiteers still maintain that that was right, while others are saying that that was fake news. But finally, Catherine, do you admire any of the negotiating team? Europe hasn't always played straight. The UK government hasn't had an easy task of implementing the results of the Brexit referendum. Do you think David Davis has done a good job, for instance?
I think David Davis has got a difficult job to do. I don't think he's necessarily helped his cause by saying that you don't need to be bright to do this job. I think most people recognise this is an incredibly complex job. And I think some of his casual remarks that he's made on TV programmes have not helped the UK's cause. There are some excellent civil servants working on all of this. And I think it was to the credit of the government, after the rather fraught negotiations during that week in December, which did lead to the joint report on the 8th of December, that they came out and thanked the civil servants for their hard work. Because in reality, although David Davis is the one who's on the front line and goes to press conferences, it is in fact the civil servants who are trying to negotiate complex turns of phrase, which will try and satisfy the hardcore Brexiteers, the DUP, and some of the softer Brexiteers in the government.
And Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK, did outwit the DUP and the hardline Brexiteers, Michael Gove, Boris Johnson, because she got on the plane. She just went, held her nerve and did the deal.
She did, but with words which were constructively ambiguous, particularly in what's now become the infamous paragraph 49 of the joint report, which is about the Northern Ireland border, and with the language of both internal market and customs union and regulatory alignment and the like. But the trouble is, she has just created a further problem for herself, but it's one that's been kicked down the road. And from that point of view, it's rather admirable how she's managed to keep the show on the road by deferring difficult decisions and actually proceeding in quite small steps, rather than, we might say that these are pigeon steps or corgi steps rather than giant kangaroo leaps. She can't do kangaroo leaps because her hands are tied in every which way.
So secret admiration there for Theresa May. Thank you very much indeed for talking to your podcast series 2903 CB, Catherine Barnard.
You've been listening to the 2903 podcast. I'm Catherine Barnard. You can contact me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at csbarnard24. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
LawPod UK is presented by Rosalind English and produced by One Crown Office Row. For more editions of LawPod UK, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and recommend us to a friend.